Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
He was numbered among the transgressors. Jesus was nailed between two thieves, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for their transgressions. Christians didn't make it up. It's clear, and read all of Isaiah 53. It says over and over again, he was bruised for our iniquities, he suffered for our transgressions. Those were all words for sins.
Jesus came to earth so he could die for our sins. He became sin who knew no sin. Corinthians says, so that we might become the righteousness of God. What unbelievable love! With more on who Jesus is and why he came out of Luke chapter 9, 18 through 27, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
He died for our sins so that Corinthians tells us that he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. All right, so we have so far who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to do. He told them, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to be handed over, and I'm going to be killed. We know from the other Gospels that Luke doesn't give us this account, but the other Gospels do, that Peter takes Jesus aside and says, no, you're not going to die. And Jesus looks at the disciples, he's got Peter with him, he looks at the rest of the disciples, and he rebukes Peter. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man. God's plan was for Jesus to suffer, to give a sacrifice of suffering, because God had a purpose in his suffering. And by the way, this is a different topic, but this tells us that God has purposes in suffering. God has a purpose in your suffering. God has a purpose in our suffering. God had a great purpose in the suffering of Jesus, that the sins of mankind would be forgiven. And so now he gets to what he wants them to do. Who am I? I'm the Messiah. What am I going to do? I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die for the sins of the world. What do I want you to do? Now, if we didn't have this in front of us and if we weren't reading it, it would be great just to pass out papers and have everybody write down, what does Jesus want us Christians to do? Because I wonder what kind of answers we would get. We might get some of this, but Jesus doesn't start with, what I want you Christians to do is be filled with my joy and filled with my love. That's true. You're going to have my peace that's unlike anything else in the world. That's all true. But Jesus doesn't start with that. In fact, he starts with what most people would put in the fine print. Let's see if we can get them to make a commitment before they read this. And so Jesus says to them in verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, which by the way, no one desires to come after God unless God draws him to Jesus. That's John 6:44. No one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. So if you're here today and something's happening inside of you, you're here in church and something's happening, you know it is. There's an excitement. You're saying, I think I want to begin to live for God. I think I want to begin to live for him. That's God drawing you. So he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He starts right off with the tough stuff. You're going to have to deny yourself. You want to be a Christian? You want to live for God? You're going to have to deny yourself. What kind of things are you going to have to deny? I don't know. You're going to have to deny things. There's things you're going to want to do that you're not going to be able to do. You're going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I want to edify myself. I'm not going to do that because I want my life to stand as a testimony for God. I'm not going to do that because I want people to see Christ in me, the hope of glory. So there are things I want to do, but I do not do for Christ. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. When someone picked up their cross, this is before the cross was a religious symbol. Jesus hadn't died on it yet. So when someone picked up their cross and were carrying it, their life was over. So what Jesus is saying is, you have to deny yourself and you have to lay your life down. As a Christian, we pray things like this at some point in our Christian walk. And this is where we get to some maturity. This is where we get to the deep things of God. We say things like, okay, God, I don't want what I want anymore, but I want whatever you want. I'll live how you want me to live. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I had met the Lord at 14 years old, and from 14 to 18, my concept of God was, Jesus is here to help me out. Isn't that awesome? I might even have had a bumper sticker on my car that said, Jesus is my co-pilot. I know I had, I found it, but that was popular back then. I've got the wheel until things go a little crazy, and then Jesus, take the wheel. Right? Because and then when he gets things back on, okay, I got it again. When God says, wait a minute, I got a plan for your life. I got a purpose for your life. Why don't you pick up your cross and follow me, and I'll take you where you're going to go because you're supposed to give your life up. Now, some of you here may say, well, I'm not ready for that. I don't want to give my life up. I like my life. I've got plans. I've got goals. I've got purposes. Okay. You don't have to. You have a choice. You can live for yourself or you can live for God. You could say, I want my life consumed for the things of God, or I want my life consumed for me. Some people say, well, this is things that happen to preachers. You're up there. You needed to give your life to Christ and give up your own life. But no, we all do. He said, you want to be my disciple. This is all believers. Remember, no longer is there this hierarchy in the church. If you want to really talk about it, a minister, a pastor is a servant. I'm serving you by teaching what the scriptures say. The hierarchy is not like it was in the Old Testament. And so he says, die to yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. It's following Jesus. Then he says this, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. He knows that there's going to be some objections. Well, I like my life. I don't want to give my life up. I want to keep living my life. And Jesus says, but if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. Life goes by fast. But if you give your life up for me, you're going to save it. You're going to gain everything. You're going to gain forgiveness. You're going to gain eternity. You're going to gain his peace. You're going to gain everything. He says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? What is the profit if you live your life for yourself, but in the end you are destroyed and lost, and someone that gave up their lives in the end goes on into eternity and gains an inheritance with God, gains everything, which is the picture the Bible gives us, by the way. Someone said, will I be bored in heaven? They're really considering giving their lives to Christ. And that was their concern. Will I be bored in heaven? Am I going to be bored in heaven? You know? No, we have everything. We've been given it all. And some of the glimpses we've been given into heaven, Paul says, don't you know you're going to rule angels? What's wrong with you? Why are you living the way you're living? Don't you know you're going to judge angels? And that's all he says about it. And I think, not fair, Paul. Tell us more. What do you mean we're going to judge angels? How does that work? We're going to be in like an angel courtroom and we're the judges, come out in our little robe. We sit down. Court's in session. We've got it today. Angel, I can't think of an angel's name. Leonardo, I'm going to judge you. We are not just going to be up in heaven being bored. But he says, what profit do you have if you hang on to your life now? Then he goes on to say, for if you seek to save your life, you lose it. If you lose life, you'll take it. For what profit is a man if he gains everything, but he's lost? Gain everything here, but you're lost. And then he says this in verse 26. And whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels. So Jesus is going to return. He's going to return in his own glory, in the glory of the Father and the glory of the angels. One day the sky is going to part and Jesus Christ is going to come through in all of his glory. And we're going to be amazed. The Bible says that we will be with him. And Jesus says, if you are ashamed of me today, I will be ashamed of you in that day. We're living in a culture that is continually hostile towards Christians. We're living in a culture where people who believe in Jesus they need to hide their faith more and more. It's been this way in campuses, college campuses, for a while. The professors have looked to mock students. And I've always had a lack of respect for those professors because they're standing up in front of all these students. They do this every year. You're getting freshmen coming in, they're a little intimidated with college. and they stand up for Christ and then he tears them apart. What kind of boldness is that? Years ago, we brought in Dr. Dana Gish, who was a highly successful scientist and done so many things. And we asked any professor at the U of A to debate him. No one would. They had no mind mocking, you know, freshmen. But they wouldn't stand on a stage with one of their peers and try to mock him. We took out on the back page of the Wildcat, some of you guys will remember this, a challenge for any professor at the U of A to come and debate Dr. Gish. We had one guy that finally came forward to debate him. And I liked him too, by the way. We went to lunch with him, we got to know him. He was a great guy, and I think we should have that kind of debate because we're not enemies. We're wanting to see them come to Christ. So we had a good relationship with him. But during the debate, one thing happened that was pretty funny. The professor said, I don't want to talk about the fossil record at all. I want to talk about, and he gave the things he wanted to talk about. And then Dr. Gish, who has since went to be with the Lord, got up and said, I know why he doesn't want to talk about the fossil record, because there's not one intermarry, you know, fossil in the entire fossil record. There's nothing in between. Everything is fully developed and fully formed. And it was really powerful and it was really great, but that doesn't mean people don't make fun of us today. And it's getting worse. Our children are being influenced in schools to think the way the world wants them to think about their own identity in relation to the LGBTQ community. And in California, where pastors are refusing to marry someone who's a homosexual, there are lawsuits being brought up. And the possibility of laws being passed in California that if they don't marry them, they could do jail time. So we in our bylaws have a statement that says we believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, and God takes the two and brings them together and causes them to be one flesh. That doesn't happen through a homosexual relationship. And so we will not marry him. That's our bylaws. Will it ever come to Tucson? What will we ever face a court case because we refuse to? Will there ever be a jail time? Possibly. But jail time might not be on the table, but people are certainly making fun of us. They call us racist. And I'm not saying that we don't walk in love towards everyone, but they call us racist when I don't think it fits at all. They're redefining racism and calling us racist. As real racism rages on, by the way. As real racism is off the chart. And so as a Christian, we're tempted to just kind of put our light under a basket. You're one of those Christians. You are Christian. You believe in these things. There will be a reason that we will want to hide it instead of living out loud for Christ. And he says, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. And the day when he returns, you don't want him to be ashamed of you. And then it says, and his father's, the glory of himself, his father's holy angels. Then he says this, and I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Now, I read this when I was just saved. I'd gotten the Good News for Modern Man as a Bible to read. And I was reading it in my room, and I was reading Matthew, and I came to that verse, and I knew two things. Those guys are all dead, and Jesus hasn't come back yet. I was so confused that I closed my Bible. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't have anybody that I really went to ask questions for. I don't know why I didn't track down one of my youth pastors and talk to them about it. But about a week later, I opened up my Bible again and wanted to start reading it again. And I read the very next verse there, which says that he takes them up on top of a mountain and he's transformed in front of them with all of his glory. So there are those there that see him in his glory. He wasn't talking about his return. He was talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. So that's just rightly dividing the word of God. But here this passage tells us Jesus is the Messiah. He fulfills Old Testament prophecies. He himself said that he was the Messiah. The woman at the well, I who speak to you am he. To the blind man, I am the one. To Caiaphas, the high priest, when Caiaphas said, are you the Messiah, the Son of God? Jesus says, "It is as you say." Jesus himself claimed to be the Messiah, and we've got a life that we're to live for him. And I think for all of us that make commitments to Christ, a good reevaluation, what does it mean to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow him? What does it mean to not be ashamed of him? Because he came and he died that people could get saved, and we're the light of the world, and this is our call. When we put it under a basket, people are not effectively brought to Jesus Christ. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be able to look into your word. We want to thank you for all that you're doing. And Lord, we do not want to be ashamed of you. We want to stand boldly for you. We want, even when people hate you and hate us because of you, we rejoice that that is the case. And thank you that you give us the description of what Jesus was supposed to do, which is suffer, and what we're supposed to do, which is lay down our lives, pick up our cross, and follow you. And boldly shine as lights for you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like everyone to keep their heads bowed, please, and their eyes closed for just a few minutes. I'm also going to ask that no one leaves early. We're almost done. We'll dismiss you here shortly. But if you're here today and you have never received Jesus as your Savior, Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again, or you will not see the kingdom of God. You've been born of the flesh, but that doesn't, you're not going to see the kingdom of God just because you were born of the flesh. You have to be born of the flesh and then born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, he said, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And if you've never invited Jesus into your life, then your spirit has never been quickened. It's never been brought to life. Jesus said, those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. So you don't have what it takes to really interact with him. That's why when people tell me I'm a Christian, I'm just not a born-again Christian, well, I guess you can call yourself that, but you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. And the way you are born again is to receive him, to invite him into your life, to say, I want to live for you. The entire church of Jesus Christ throughout all the centuries has been made up of volunteers. You don't have to follow him, but if you want to, you can say, Lord, I want to follow you. And you know what others would put in fine print. He's asking you to lay your life down. He's asking you to deny yourself. He's asking you to live for him instead of for yourself, and to not be ashamed of him, even though our world is increasingly standing against Christ. So you know what you're in for. You know that these are the things you're volunteering for. But you will help to bring people into heaven. You will be given eternity, all that God has for you. And so if you're here today and you would like to give your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you are. Just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to make my way around the room and acknowledge your hands. God bless you, sir. Back to my left, and sir, under the balcony. A couple right there, your hands went up immediately. That's great. Anyone else? God bless you, sir. Near the back, near the aisle. That's awesome. Right down here in the front. God bless you, sir. That's awesome. God bless both of you guys over here. That's great. Anyone else? What a great thing. A day in which God is forgiving sins and causing your spirit to be brought to life. God bless you, sir. Up in the balcony. Doing a transformative work. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. God bless you there. Up in the balcony. That's awesome. Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. That's great. And if I missed your hand, know that God hasn't missed it. If you're watching online, you can respond. You can say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to live for him wholeheartedly. If you're listening on Reach Radio, you could respond as well. You could put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Now, what has happened to you is that you have a body. You were born in the flesh. That means you have a body. You have a consciousness, which you can interact with your body to the world around you. But today, your spirit was brought to life. You were born of spirit, as Jesus says in John chapter 3. And this is the way that we communicate with God. You've got it doesn't mean that you couldn't talk to God before, but you've got actually got a spirit, and since God is spirit, you can now communicate to him in a new way. We want to give you a Bible where you can begin to feed on it. You've got to grow the milk and the meat of God's word. There's a new believer's table along the wall. We want to give you a Bible and a new believer's packet. Within that new believer's packet is information. What do I do now? I raised my hand. I committed my life to Christ. What do I do now? We want to give you every bit of information we can. If you are listening on Reach Radio and you responded, or you're watching online today, and if you gave your life to Jesus online or on the radio, you can send us a text. Send Ready for Jesus to 94,000. You're going to get back a link. Click on that link. It's our new believer's card. Fill that out, and we'll have people at the church who will get back in touch with you. We just want to help you in any way we can to make that good, solid, strong start with the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to pray for people you know. The Bible says we don't have because we don't ask. I'm sure you know a lot of people who are hurting and suffering, are struggling in their faith, maybe physically need a touch, a healing. I'm going to ask you to pray for them while I pray for you guys. You guys online do the same, and the radio do the same. So I'm going to ask you, the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you men and women to do that. And you pray for them as I pray for you. Father, I want to pray for those that are here in this room. As we call out upon your name for our families, for our friends, for those that we know who either don't know you or need a physical touch and healing. Lord, I pray for those that are here that they would be touched physically, that you would do miraculous works in the name of Jesus. I pray for those that are struggling in their marriages, that you would do a miraculous work in those marriages. I pray for those who are struggling in their faith. They just are having trouble living for you in these days. Lord, I pray that you would solidify them, cause a hunger in them for all of the things of the Word of God, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Allow us to be lights that shine brightly for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you be bold. The early disciples were threatened if they kept preaching Jesus, they were going to be arrested and beaten, flogged. And they prayed for boldness. May you be bold to live your life out loud for Christ. And may God use you to water seeds and to plant seeds. And may God add the increase to the kingdom of God.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.